Hello everyone, it's Tim. Welcome to North and South Podcasts. This is a well-being podcast and I'm going to talk to you about an aspect of Buddhism that you can apply to everything in your life. And it's to do with the story of the two arrows. Before we get into that, please like, share, subscribe, support financially if you can through the podcast notes at coffee.com to make this thing expand into the future and get involved. As you know, I'm looking to get involved in more charitable work, working with vulnerable groups in the community. So if you can help out in any way, please do get involved and get in contact. Now, what the Buddha said is that if you get hit with an arrow, it's not nice. And life throws things at you, the world throws things at you. It might be old age, it might be illness, it might be approaching death. Might be a loss of loved ones close to you. It might be a diagnosis, the loss of your home, living in a war zone, all these terrible, terrible things that can happen in the world. And that's the first arrow that hits you. And it hurts. And it's meant to hurt. And it's okay if it hurts. But what Buddha said is that there's a second arrow that then hits you. And this is the arrow of the mind. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is you can interpret things a particular way. So the arrow hits you. There's a sensation, there's an emotion, there's a process that hurts. The second arrow, though, is the one to do with your interpretation of the event. It doesn't matter what happens. You can control that interpretation. And you can mitigate the worst aspects of it. And you can turn terrible negatives and terrible travails and terrible trials into positive developmental tools and processes that make you a better person, or at least get you through these difficult times. So what are we saying here? The external world exists. It's out there. There is a universe. It's full of energy. Even if it was created by a demon, an evil demon, as Descartes said in his meditations, it is there because we're conscious of something. And the fact that we are conscious of something means that consciousness is real. We're here. Even if it's a complete fabrication, and even if, like Nick Bostrom says, we're living in a simulation, the fact that we exist is real. What we see around us, though, isn't necessarily real, because there are some things we'll just never know. So some of the intricacies of quantum mechanics, subatomic particles and the way they behave, the ideas of string theory, etc., etc. There's a lot of stuff we're just not designed to know because it's very, very small. There's also huge things to do with astrophysics, the nature of black holes, etc., that, again, we find very hard to understand. And one of the reasons for that is because we've been designed to be like the Goldilocks between being too hot or too cold. Things which are really, really small are of no real significance to us in terms of our day-to-day lives, even though they are at one level. And things that are really, really big, like the behaviour of galaxies, etc., doesn't really affect our day-to-day life, even though it kind of does. So we're like in the middle. We've evolved to survive, to live, to pass on our genes, to procreate. That's effectively what life is about, and the way that we have evolved. Our consciousness and evolution is here to keep us alive, not to understand the true nature of reality, but to keep us alive in the present, in the kind of situations that arise, such as eating food, keeping away from predators, that kind of thing. We are limited about what we can see and what we can experience. And we see through our senses. If you look at things from a subatomic level, the idea that there is some headphones on my head, we might agree, the listener and me might agree that, yeah, there's some headphones on your head. But if we try to actually pin down what headphones are and at what point, by taking away little parts of it, they are no longer headphones, we could get into a bit of a minefield. But generally, we recognise patterns to help us to survive. But we are not designed to truly understand the reality of things. And in many ways, it may well be that a conscious entity is completely unable to understand the complex reality of things. And I don't want to get too philosophical or too much into the free will determinism kind of debate on free will, etc. But things happen in the external world and we can respond to them in a particular way. So, for example, in the concentration camps of World War II, people like Frankl said that the way you responded to being in the camps could help you to survive. You couldn't give up. You had to get through the day. You had to be a bit ruthless with yourself and with others and with your own mind. But you had to get through the day. And those people who kept doing that survived. And those that gave up, you couldn't keep it going because you were under such stress in the concentration camps. Of course, if you're told to go straight to the gas chambers, there was very little you could do anyway. But what Frankl talks about is how you could interpret your day-to-day reality to try and stay alive and to get through it. This is the second arrow that we control. And I'm reading the book at the moment, and it's an anti-anxiety book. It's quite good, and it says, what's your negative story? And you write down what's negative that you're telling yourself in your head. And then it says, right, what's the complete opposite way of viewing it? And you, like, spin it on its head and go, oh, that's interesting, isn't it? So let's imagine you're having a tired and grumpy day, and then when you reverse it, you go, well, I'm tired because, you know, I did yoga yesterday or didn't have a great night's sleep. Am I really going to let that dominate me day to day? Am I going to make that impact on how this day goes, that I'm a bit tired? Can I just improve things a bit and get through it? Just something like that. Might be a negative event that you're feeling quite emotional about, and then when you sit down, you go, right, I can take some positives from that, things that I did well or things that I might do differently next time. Put it on its head and turn it into a learning process. Again, this all fits in with the idea of mindfulness, which is like keeping a cool head. Metacognition, which means thinking about the way you're thinking, which means I've built this into my daily journaling now. Like, it means thinking about how you're thinking. How did you think today? Were you in a negative frame of mind, positive? What was going on? Was that helpful? Could you have dealt with things better in terms of the way that you think about things? I also use toxic positivity at times, and I know that's a bit of a loaded term, but if you're ill or tired, try to be really positive just to get through it. Doesn't mean that you have to become more and more miserable. What if you just try to be really positive while you're feeling ill or anxious or having a bad day? Try and turn it into something positive, if you can. It's not easy. Also, to say to your negative mind, who I've spoken about before, is the biggest bully in your life is your own mind and the way you speak to yourself. Now and again, catch yourself talking to yourself badly and go, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to like that? And again, it's your evolutionary brain trying to defend you, but it's not always helpful and it doesn't always serve us. And as many have said, the mind is a poor master, but a very useful servant. Now, let's imagine you're late for work and you're going out the door and you drop a pint of milk and it smashes and milk goes all over the floor. Now, you could get really stressed about that. Or you could say, right, that just happened. There's literally no point crying over spilt milk. When I get in tonight, I'll give it a little clean, give it a proper wash the floor. Maybe it needed to be cleaned anyway. Maybe I've been putting that off for a while. So what? What a way to deal with a situation like that that would probably send most of us absolutely crazy. If you're sitting in a traffic jam, again, these are all first world problems, like, but look at it as a stoic test. So what? Chill. Put some music on. Breathe through your nose. If you're late, can you change the fact that you're going to be late if you're in a traffic jam? Have you caused a traffic jam? And some people might say you have, but so what? What would the birds say if the birds are up in the sky looking down at you? What would they say if you could say, oh, I'm stuck in a traffic jam and I'm really stressed? From a bird's eye view, someone from up there would just look down and go, yeah, you and everyone else, mate, take it easy. Why are you being so negative? You're only damaging yourself. So be stoic, whatever comes your way, deal with it. Be mindful, whatever comes your way, just keep a perspective about things. One of the big things, and I didn't deal very well with something that happened to me last weekend, but you're going to deal with difficult people, and it's a test. It's a test of your equanimity, keeping calm. And that doesn't mean that you have to give in. You can still be vulnerable, but also be assertive. So you might say something like, you okay? Like, why are you being like this? I feel like really intimidated, the way you're speaking to me. Just turn it into something like that. Just be vulnerable to deal with it rather than going into a fight mode. If you do these kind of things in your day-to-day, you'll live longer and you'll live a better life. And events, when they happen, we can reconfigure them. We can recontextualize them. We can be wiser. We can be better. We can be the calm one in a crisis. I remember hearing a story about a man who was in a boat that was torpedoed by a German U-boat, and he was a British navyman, I think. Might have been a merchant navyman. And he said he got like a cask of water off the submariners. They gave him some water on the boat and said, yeah, there's some water to keep you alive. And he said he held the water for many weeks, and he just gave everyone a little cap of water twice a day. And he said he wanted to just drink it all, and he knew that the other people in the boat wanted to drink it all, but he thought if we're going to keep alive, we need to just have a little bit each day to keep us going. And he was right. He controlled his emotions, he controlled his feelings, and he helped people to survive. And he was the calm one in a crisis. And I often think, could I be like that in that kind of a situation? So increase your powers. Don't be saying, oh, there's nothing I can do. It is wise to say, I can't change A, B and C. But think about the things you can change and say, right, let's turn those around and let's work on them. So last week, as I said, I had to deal with some difficulty with another person last week. And I got a bit upset and I wasn't happy with the way I dealt with it. And I've since journaled about it, spoken to a few people, come up with a bit of a plan if that kind of thing comes up again. So if something happens, keep calm and carry on. Maintain your equanimity. Think to yourself, when that happens, I will do this. Turn it into a bit of a mantra, a bit of an algorithm that you then adopt when that situation arises. Try to take the emotion out of it. Keep calm. Think about your values. Are you a violent person? Are you someone who kicks off at the drop of a hat? Are you someone who's miserable, who makes others miserable? If so, do you want to change that? Do you want to be a better person? What matters to you? What's important to you? What do you want to be like? Start living it. In Islam, they have a couple of phrases or a couple of meanings for the word jihad, and one of them is the daily battle that you have to go through every day to do the right thing. Buddhists call it the Dharma, the way. And again, you can call it wisdom, you can call it the good life. But if you have a setback, so what? What's the best way of moving forward? Reduce everything to that. Right, that's just happened, what can I do? How am I thinking now? Is that actually helping me? Can I get better? And it can be hard to think like this objectively, which is why I like to do journaling so much. And I can't recommend journaling more, because it really helps me to think about the life I'm leading every day. So for the rest of today, there's going to be arrows to hit you, and you can't affect those arrows. But for goodness sake, and for everyone's sake, and most importantly, for your sake, when that second arrow hits, make sure that you reduce its impact and turn it into something that helps you. Because when you allow a second arrow to hit you with full force and then deal with the situation in the worst way possible, that's not wisdom. And don't forget, this is the work of a lifetime. Right, cheers, folks. Thanks for listening.